For today, we are going to chase our theme. So we're going to go back to themes here for a little while. And today we're going to be in the theme of faithfulness. So you were in 1 Kings chapter 18, 19, kind of that area. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. So if you have a Bible, you can turn there. We'll be there in just a minute. If you have your bulletin, the text is there. And if you can see well enough, then the text is also on the wall. You can follow along any of those places. And I want to talk to you about a thought. It's pretty simple, yet it's huge. And the thought is, God is faithful. Okay? So what could we possibly say that is a bigger thought than God is faithful? Can you think of anything? God is. Could we say anything that's bigger than God is faithful? I'm kind of putting you on the spot. It's kind of hard, isn't it? I mean, we could start listing the attributes of God, like God is love, you know, or God is grace. I think even if we got a little more simpler, we could say just God is. And there's nothing bigger than that. If God is, then that's everything, right? That takes care of everything. So we're going to kind of cover a broad territory today, but hopefully bring it home to something very personal. God is faithful. There's all sorts of reminders we have on this planet. And we've talked through some of these before, but this morning we woke up because our clocks went off. Why do we set our clocks at a certain time? To get up, right? Because there's a 24-hour day. We've got a sun that's going to rise, and we've got a sun that's going to set. And it happens every day. And so we've got this rhythm of faithfulness. You may remember that message from a year ago where we talked about the sunrise and the sunset. We've got the waves that roll in and roll out, and they do it all day. We don't see them on most days, right? But they're doing it right now. So there's this witness of God's faithfulness in his planet. All sorts of things we could talk about. We've got the... As believers, we've got the working of the Holy Spirit within us. So when you sin, do you feel like you've sinned? Right? There may be some initial joy right for the moment. Right? Whatever. If you indulged in something, or maybe if you said something back to somebody who mouthed off at you in a way you didn't like, for that moment, it's like, oh, that was good. But then it just sets in like, oh, that's terrible. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that. That didn't reflect God. That wasn't good for anybody, and I'm just sorry. So we've got to go through that process. But God is faithful to us, and we've got this faithful witness within us who is His Spirit who constantly convicts or encourages or works in us. On and on we could go about faithfulness of God, and we're going to get into that. But let's talk about this planet we live on. We know very well what it is to be unfaithful, don't we? Right? We know what it is to be unfaithful. We live on a planet that is harassed by a curse, and this curse has made most things unfaithful. So we all at some point in our life have been unfaithful to God. True? Some point along the way, we have dismissed God, or we've went our own way. We've kind of chased selfish pursuits, and we have dismissed Him, and so we've been unfaithful. But think about it this way for a minute. How awesome would it be if everything was faithful? How awesome would it be if we lived on a planet where everything was faithful? So every time you put your key in the car, it started. Every time. Never needed gas. Even though gas is cheap, that'd be nice, right? Or cheaper, maybe say it that way. Never needed an oil change, never needed any kind of maintenance whatsoever. Windshield wipers always worked. And everything functioned like it was supposed to from the point of creation forever. That would be amazing, right? That would be extremely amazing. And I've told you here recently, I tend to talk to things that can't talk back to me. I don't know why. Last night I had my phone and I was trying to look up something, and periodically my phone tells me it no longer is going to operate for me. And it says that in this little phrase, no SIM installed. And I say, yes, it is. And I reset it. And sometimes it comes back and works, and sometimes it comes back and says, no SIM installed. I'm like, yes, it is. And my wife thinks I'm crazy. I was doing that in the middle of Target last night. It's in there. And I said, just work. That's all you got to do. I'm not asking you to sprout wheels and just tote me around everywhere. Just work. Do what you're supposed to do. Periodically now, my computer will shut off. I used to have a warning light that would pop up saying your battery's getting low, you need to charge it. And with this new update, they no longer have that. So I'm in the middle of typing, and it just goes black. And I'm just, all you have to do is work. You know, that's all you have to do. Here even, we put up Christmas lights. You guys put Christmas lights up on your house outside? Outdoor, indoors, right? Well, outdoors is a little more tricky because you got to deal with the precipitation. And so I put up some extra lights this year. I hadn't put it up before, so I put them up this year, And for a few days, it was pretty nice. But then we had this light precipitation. And one night, we looked out, and half the house was lit, and the other half wasn't. Oh, come on. So I get the ladder out and get up there, and there's a fuse blown. And so I replaced the fuse. A few days later, we've got some more rain, and the same thing happens, which should happen, right? Because I didn't fix a problem. All I did was replace the fuse. So half of them work, and the other half don't. So this time, I'm going to track it down. And so I get up there, and I've got this little adapter. And it's made for indoors. And I thought I could get away with it. And so I'm getting up there, and I'm taping this thing. And finally, I bought one. But I looked at that little adapter, and I said, all you have to do is work. I'm not asking you to create some beautiful light display. All you have to do is take energy from here to here. You know, that far, that's all you have to do, and we're going to be on good terms. So I'm a little bit crazy because I talk to things that are inanimate and cannot speak back. But I just want things to work the way they've been created. I wish things would just stay faithful. And I think that's good in us because it creates a longing in us for a place where everything will be faithful. Steady, steadfast, always. What if our bodies never broke? Wouldn't that be nice? Let's say that we grew from a baby to a position of maturity and we just stayed there forever. So as strong as you've ever been, smart, intelligent, your mind as sharp as it ever was, never fading, hair never falling out or turning different colors, it's always perfect. Would you like that? All right, we'd probably like that a whole lot better than maybe our current situation with our body. So our reality here is unfaithfulness. So whether it's our body or whether it's technology, whether it's automobiles, you name it, we understand what it is to be unfaithful. Matter of fact, a major component of our business world is built on the reality of unfaithfulness. So let's illustrate that. For every business that begins, business A, there's usually business B and C that start simply because they know business A creates things that will fail, right? And that's their business. They make a good living off of unfaithful things. So we have all these wonderful things that take place here, and we've got companies B and C. So let's say we create with company A a washing machine. Company B is going to be a repair machine or repair company, right? Because they know every part in that machine is breakable. And so they're going to know that machine and how to fix it and how to replace the power supply or the motherboard or how to fix it if it starts leaking or makes weird sounds. That's why company B exists, because company A has created something so great, yet it's unfaithful. And then you've got company C, who works to insure and warranty company A and company B, right? So if there was never company, I guess we're just creating jobs. So we should create more stuff that's going to break so there'd be more business. But that's how it works in this world. This company's going to write a warranty or write a guarantee for company's A's stuff when it breaks. And they're going to give you a little break off of company B for supplying or for buying into their warranty. It's just kind of odd, but that's the world that we live in. Everything on this planet relates to us unfaithfulness, and so we understand that full well. I hope that when we walk out of here today, we understand full well not only that God is faithful, but that He's faithful in our lives. Those are two totally different things. How miserable would it be to live in an unfaithful world and know it fully well, to know that there is a God who is faithful and know that fully well, and yet never be able to experience faithfulness? That's just miserable. How many of you children love animals, pets? What if I held your favorite animal in front of you and said, oh, here you go, and it's free. Oh, you can't have it. Here, just take it. Nope, it's mine, right? Or your favorite food, and I slid a piece of cake in front of you or a steak or whatever it is you like to eat, and here you go, and you start to dig in. No, I take it back. You can't know how good this is. That would be miserable to live here and experience that over and over again. So what we have here in an unfaithful world is the reality of faithfulness. You can know, and I can know, what it is to live by and be influenced by, filled with, this faithful God. So we're going to look into this. 1 Corinthians 1, we'll read the first 9 verses here this morning. So here's how this works. Paul's writing this letter to some people who are new believers, and they're pretty vile. All right? They're not fully mature. They're beginners at this. They've got a lot of sin still in their church. And so he's writing to these people who, somewhere along the way, were a lot like us, starting out in faith and trying to see, here's what it looks like to walk by faith and love the Lord, and here's what it looks like to walk in the flesh. And we need to kind of separate those things. Right up front, though, he's going to remind people this. What's happened in you is simply because God is faithful. And if God is not faithful, you have nothing worth me writing to you about. And so let's note this here. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 9. Let's see here. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he wrote to Corinthians, and he also wrote to whom? Us. Right? It's the people at Corinth, and then he goes on to include everybody. Everybody in every place who call on the name of Jesus. Verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so what we're going to do this morning is, really that statement is kind of a summary statement there in verse 9. God is faithful. It floats back to the previous verses, really verse 4 on. And so we'll work our way through that here this morning. We'll talk about faithfulness in three ways as well. Past faithfulness, present faithfulness, and future faithfulness. And there are three words which will be important for today, and those are the words enrich, empower, and ensure. Enrich, empower, and ensure. And so we'll work through all of that, hopefully, here this morning. So if you're following along, three things we'll note in our bulletin as we progress. And one is this: God faithfully enriches in every way. God faithfully enriches in every way. So if we were to ask you that, are you rich in every way, you would say yes. All right? Does this text teach that in everything and always we will be healthy and wealthy? No. Will we always have good health? No. Will we always have all the money that we need? No. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so this text does not teach that in everything we will be fully enriched. What we're really talking about here is the specific clause in Christ Jesus. And so our enriching comes from him, our enriching is in him, and apart from him we're lacking this enrichment. Let's go back to these verses, verse 4, 5, and 6, and we'll see this spelled out again. Verse 4 begins, I always thank my God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in how many ways? In every way, with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge, God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. So here's the picture. For those who believe in Jesus Christ, they lack what? We lack nothing. There's no lack of anything for those who believe in Jesus Christ. It's to say that we are enriched in him. And so it's not that he's made me wealthy, put more money in my pocket than I know what to do with. It's not that he gives me a perfect body. It's that everything I have, everything I need, I find in Jesus. And there are other verses that support this as well. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes a little further and he says this, already you have all you want. Is that true for you? Already you have all that you want. And he goes on to say, already you have become rich. And so here again, this is a reference to Jesus. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, you are kings. You will reign with him. You will rule with him. And you will be honored with him as well. So already everything that we need is found in Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter writes and says, his divine power has given us what? Everything we need. Okay? But let's go on. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his own goodness. So we don't have everything. We have everything we need. In Jesus, we are enriched with everything we need. And we'll talk more why we're enriched here in just a minute. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. The beautiful thing of this is God doesn't deliver in installments. Okay? He doesn't deliver installments. It's not like when we become a Christian, we get a little bit of Jesus. And if you'll hang on with Jesus for a year, then we're going to double your portion. And if you'll hang on for that second year, then we'll double it over again until ultimately you reach the level of fullness. When you and I put our faith in Jesus, we are full, we are complete. We have to grow up, we have to mature, but in him we are enriched in every way. In everything that matters, God fully enriches us. And so Paul writes here and tries to make that clear to us. And what I love here is this is not just a teaching point. It's not just something to say out loud that God is faithful or that God will enrich us. This is the reality for you and I here today. We can fully know the faithfulness of God to be fully enriched. You want that? I want to be fully enriched. The Bible, Paul goes on in that verse to say that God not only tells us he's faithful, but he's going to confirm it. Don't you love when people confirm things? You ever need the confirmation number? Now, maybe you've purchased something online and you want to make sure that everything's went through the way it's supposed to. You may even ask, is there a confirmation number? Or your AT&T man or your Charter man or lady's going to come out to your house and visit because you need a repair. And so they're going to schedule you, and then you want to know what? What's my confirmation number? I want to make sure that you know that I know that you're coming, right? So that's important. And so Paul writes here that God confirms in us this to be true. And so that word confirm means settled. It's settled. And so is it settled in you that you're fully rich in Jesus Christ? Is that sealed in you? See, the way it begins is through salvation. If you believe that you're saved, it's not because, hey, I might as well be. It's because God has said so, right? And if God hadn't said so, then you and I would always have doubts. We would always wonder. And so when the Bible says, Jesus died for me, we believe he died for us because we're sinners who need a Savior. We've been fully confirmed in these things. It's fully settled. I won't argue with anybody that I'm a sinner. And I've got a track record pages long to prove it. Nor will I argue with anybody that Jesus is a Savior, because that has been confirmed through history, through the Bible, through the working of the Spirit in us. And now I also won't doubt or need more confirmation that I am saved, because God has said so. You put your faith in me, you trust in me, and you are saved. You're mine. And so we are enriched in every way, and it fully begins at that point of, at the point of salvation. So this is the reality of the faithful God at work in our life. He fully enriches in every way. You lack nothing. You lack nothing as a Christian. I lack nothing as a follower of Jesus. Everything we need, time and time again, God has proved he'll be faithful. And so God faithfully enriches in every way. Let's progress here. Secondly, God faithfully supplies the gifts needed to do his work. And this is similar somewhat to what we talked through last week. God faithfully supplies the gifts needed to do his work. And so here Paul's going to outline a couple of these gifts. But what he's trying to make clear to us is this: God faithfully gifts us in ways to fulfill his purposes. Okay? God will faithfully empower us, is the word now. So we were enriched in every way through Christ. Now we're empowered by this filling to accomplish God's purposes. He is our gifter. Verse 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says, therefore you do not lack, what is it? Any spiritual gift, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. So why don't we lack? Because we have been fully enriched. We are fully empowered because we've been fully enriched. And so Paul writes, he says, you lack nothing. And two different things that he outlines here. These aren't the gifts. These aren't the only gifts. But these are a couple gifts that you and I have. And these are important for how we're going to function here in life. And he's going to talk about utterance. And he's going to talk about knowledge. So when God saves us, he then equips us, and he's going to empower us to speak. He's going to equip us with knowledge, and he's going to empower us to share that knowledge with other people. And that's very important. So God's the equipper, and we're the ones who have all speech or all knowledge. Now, if I have all knowledge, does that mean I know all things? Here again, it's all knowledge, absolutely, and there's a qualifier to it, in Christ. So there are all sorts. I can't stand up here and tell you why my phone won't work. But I can stand up here and tell you the gospel, and I can tell it to you in detail. Why? Because I've been given the knowledge, and I have the ability, empowered by the Spirit, to share it. And if you're a Christian, you have that same type of empowering. You have that same type of knowledge. You have the same type of ability to utter. And so we may not be able to speak knowledgeably about everything on the planet, but we can speak about the things that matter. You have a Bible, then let your mind be soaked in it. If you're saved, you've got the Son who lives in you, and you've got this Spirit at work among you, just creating something that's worth sharing. And so let's go back to Acts here. Acts 1:8. We see when Jesus has ascended, he promised his disciples the Spirit would come, and here's what the Spirit will do. When you receive But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so what happens when you get God's Spirit? You get God's empowerment. We get God's empowerment to do what? To witness. And so you are empowered to utter. You are empowered to testify. You and I are empowered to be witnesses simply through the working of Christ. And so what is my part? What is your part? See, we've got a function in this thing. When the Spirit lives in us, it doesn't just take over and like make us robots where we have no will any longer. Right? The Spirit works in us, and we are to cooperate with that Spirit. And so if I'm going to utter, what do I have to do? It's real simple. Open your mouth. It's exactly that simple. Ephesians 6:19, Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says this. He says, I'm going to pray for you. Now pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. He goes on to say, may I say this with boldness. And so what he's praying is, pray that I'll open my mouth. Pray that I won't be so afraid, so terrified, that I just freeze up and don't say anything about the gospel. And so pray that I'll just, that's all we've really got to do. Open your mouth. Open my mouth. Far too often, I think we've failed to experience the gifting of utterance because we've already determined that we can't do it. True? You ever been there? I just can't talk to somebody about the Lord, so I'm already determined I'm not going to. How about the next time you have an opportunity, instead of saying, I can't do it, you say, okay, God, show up. You've promised to empower me to utter, and you filled me with your knowledge, so remind me of some things here. What can I say? Here, a couple days ago, walked in and was talking with this guy, and was like, God, power me to utter. That's kind of an odd prayer, but that's what I wanted. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be timid. I don't want to just sit back, but as the opportunity affords itself, you filled me with knowledge. I'm going to open my mouth. Help me utter. Help me speak forth what it is that you want me to say. And so thankfully, we're gifted with not just all utterance, but all knowledge. We would be in a world of mess if we had the gift of all utterance without knowledge. Right? That means we'd talk all the time about everything and really not say anything that matters. And so, yeah. That's not the way that God has created us. We are to utter, but we are to speak forth the truth. We're to share the gospel. And God is our empowerer to gift us with these things. I am enriched in every way, and I am empowered in all sorts of ways, but one way is there's not a person on the planet you and I cannot talk to about Jesus Christ, because I'm empowered. I have the gift of utterance. I have the gift of knowledge, and so do you. And so it's important. Work with the gospel. Work with your word. Saturate your mind so that when the opportunity presents itself, the Spirit can draw from that well. Open your mouth and utter. Share whatever it is that God brings to your memory. So if you're saved, this is how it works. God's Spirit lives in you, and He will empower you. I was reading an article by John MacArthur, and I like this little line in here. He says this, God has already stocked your shelf. God has already stocked your shelf. So you just pull from the warehouse, and you're ready to utter. You just pull from this warehouse of knowledge, and you'll be able to speak. He's the stocker of your shelf, which is to say we don't need anything. We don't need to be afraid. And so I want to challenge you to pray big. How often do we pray little prayers that we can almost get done by ourselves? God, I pray that you'll help me, whatever, do this little task for today. And you get it done, and you're like, yay, God. I'm praying for God to do things that can only be explained by God. I'm not looking for what I can get done, and that's not what we should be after. Pray for big God moments. For God to do that. You know, one of the most amazing things when somebody comes to Christ and we have a part in that, it's not that a soul was converted, it's that we actually shared. Right? We're more surprised that we opened our mouth and uttered than we are that God did a magnificent work in their life and saved them. Pray big prayers. God, give us opportunities. Then open your mouth, and the God who gifts you will empower you to utter. Utter with all knowledge. Speak His truth. And then third here, we've got this God who is going to enrich us. We've got this God who empowers us. And now we've got this God who ensures us. God faithfully keeps us firm to the end. He faithfully keeps us firm to the end. And so here we have a guarantee from God. You know, when we buy these little warranties from Company C, you ever see those one or two asterisks beside it? You know, and it's limited lifetime warranty, you know, or as long as you own the product, or these parts for this many years. You won't find that little asterisk anywhere in the Word of God. God's guarantee is forever. And so what he says here is he keeps us. His insurance is solid. His insurance is faithful. And the faithful God who saved us and confirmed us, the faithful God who empowers us, is the same faithful God who's going to keep us and protect us while we wait for his return. And there is a longing, I hope there is in you as well, for the return of Jesus, where you want things to be made right. There's also this will within me where I can't battle. I can't fight against wanting to live here. I can't fight against wanting to stay. That's natural. But what's also supernatural, rather, is this desire for Jesus to return. And so Paul writes, until he comes back, he will keep you. And he'll keep you firm, and he'll keep you secure. Verse 8, he will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you without blame today? It's not a trick question. The reality is you are without blame in God's eyes. You are blameless. When Jesus forgave your sins, God looks at you and they are gone. And so God will look at you and Jesus will present you as blameless. And so in that keeping, it's not that we were saved and now we're trying to keep up with goodness so that we can stay saved. The same grace that brought us salvation is the same grace that keeps us saved. It's the same grace that's going to keep us blameless until the return of Jesus Christ. He's our protector. And what I love is Jesus is a finisher. Right? He didn't just start out salvation and say, hey, now I've done this much for you. I need some effort from you. I'll save you initially, but you got to be good from this point forward. And I'll save you initially, but you can't give in to any more temptations. And if you do, you're out. He doesn't say that. What he starts in us, he empowers or he ensures that he will finish. Philippians 1:6, Paul writes and says, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And so here again we have this waiting on the return of Christ, longing for, looking for the return of Jesus. But until then, we are kept, we are insured, we are safe, we are protected. And we talk about often how somebody can lose their salvation, and sometimes people misinterpret that. It's like you wake up one day and, where'd it go? Like we've lost our car keys. That's not how it works. So God's not going to grant it one day and then pull it back. Oh, you can't have it now. Right? As we walk with him, as we're faithful, Hebrews talks all about persevering to the end. As we do our part, God is faithful to do his, and he will keep us. He will protect us. He will watch over us. He is our finisher. And that should give us great hope today. When I battle temptation today, it's not about am I going to be saved or not. I'm saved. And I'm going to trust God that he's going to help me through this. Now, in some moments, I'm going to fail that test. And I'm going to find convicting there. And I'm going to find grace for the moment. I'm going to find restoration. I'm going to find God's keeping and watch over me. He is this God who looks after us as his children. First John chapter 4, verse 4. John writes and says, you dear children are from God and you have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. And so we have this confirmation. We have this insurance from God where he says, I will keep you. And he supplies all these things through one little phrase. It's not on the wall. It's the beginning of verse 9. It's the title of this message. All this comes to me and you because God is faithful. And because God is faithful, your life is enriched in every way in Jesus. You're confirmed that you belong to him. Because God is faithful, you are empowered with all utterance and all knowledge so that you can speak forth truth. You can be an instrument or a tool of God that can help other people come to know him. And because God is faithful, you are insured. Every step of the way, God will keep you. And he's got all power to do so. And so Paul writes right up front to remind the people of this. He doesn't start off and say, you bunch of sinners, look at all the wickedness that's going on in your church. Look at the sin that you're tolerating. He goes on to write about that later. He doesn't say, look how unorganized things are, how there's no order. Look at how you're just chasing after gifts that don't matter. He doesn't start there. He starts by reminding them that God is faithful. I think it's a good reminder for us today as well. He's always faithful, and in a world of unfaithfulness, That's a rock to hold on to. That's something steady that should firm our hearts and that should give us great hope and assurance today. Faithful to save all who call and faithful to confirm them. Faithful to empower all of us with the gifts that are necessary to do his work. And faithful to keep us, ensure us, until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so very simply today, I just want to ask you this. Have you asked Jesus to save you? The promise of God is that when we call to him, he will do it. That's faithfulness. There will be times where you'll call my phone, and for whatever reason, I'm not able to answer. Sometimes I'm on another line. Sometimes I'm in a conversation with somebody. You know how it is, or you're in a situation where you can't just get to your phone right now. There's never a moment where we reach out to God where he's not there. We call to him, God, save me. God's promise is he will. He always answers that ring. Maybe today you'd like to ask Jesus to save you. Maybe today I just want to challenge you. Are you living in God's gifting? Are you really looking at people going, I can talk to you about Jesus. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you are wealthy or poor. I don't care what place of the world you're from. I can talk to you about Jesus. Do you have confidence that you can just open your mouth and utter the truth? Maybe today you're going to ask God for that kind of boldness. Maybe today it's a commitment to really know and understand his word. Maybe today it's just a reminder, God, I thank you that you keep me. I thank you that you're firm to the end. I thank you that you are my insurance here in a very unfaithful world. Now, Hebrews writes and says, the author writes and says, you hold on to God because God is faithful. And that's our role here today. You just hold on to God, and God will take care of his part.